So in this second part, we start the study of the phases of the quantumizing model. So let me write again the Hamiltonian for this model. So we have an external transverse magnetic field. The word transverse means it's any direction different from the direction of the so-called Ising coupling. And this is on any graph. And we only have nearest neighbors coupling, so it is only on the edges of this graph. I think in the notes I also have an energy scale J here, but I'm setting it to 1. Okay, so some notes about, some remarks about the Hilbert space. Here the Hilbert space, so let's say that we have n spins 1/2. And the Hilbert space of 1 spin 1/2 is C2. So it is just the linear combinations with complex coefficients of just 2 states that we will call 0 and 1, or up and down. And therefore, the total Hilbert space is just n tensor copies of this one. As you can see, this is a Hamiltonian that depends on 1 parameter. And we look at the ground state as a function of this parameter g. And we start by looking at 2 limiting cases. Okay, so the first case is g going to infinity. Basically, we only have this one Hamiltonian, only this term. Oh, before I go there. Notice that for every g, this operator, that is the tensor product over all the spins of sigma x, this operator commutes with the Hamiltonian. Okay? Also notice that this operator, so can you see why it commutes with the Hamiltonian?
So
obviously it commutes with this term, but it will also commute with this term because, so if I have this spin and this spin, I'm always flipping all of them, and xx and zz, that is the coupling, if this is a link, will commute. Also notice that this operator is not a trivial operator on our Hilbert space. If I take a state in here, any basis state, say, so some spin configuration, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1, 1. So this is a basis state in this Hilbert space. If I do this, I have to flip the 0 and 1s and the ones in 0, so I obtain a different state always. So this is a non-trivial operation. So therefore, this is a real symmetry of the Hamiltonian. Okay? It's not like the particle on the circle, in which there are some transformations, like translating of the length of the circle that do nothing. This is a real operation in the Hilbert space. However, the Hamiltonian commutes, yes.
Restrictions on the kinds of operators we can have that said we had to have, like, we could only have it not be the identity in a finite region, but this one is not the identity everywhere. Like, isn't this outside of the operators that we said we were restricting to in the first lecture?
So this is a very good point, because I started our discussion about what are the admissible operators in our infinite tensor product, in which operators like this should not be allowed. And yes, that is true. However, for any finite n, this is a safe operator. I can define that. Right now, we are for finite n. And what happens to these non-local algebras in the thermodynamic limit is, we should, kind of get rid of them. And that's why the topic that I'm going to discuss rigorously we would have to use a different set of tools that are called the C-star algebras to describe spontaneous symmetry breaking. And we cannot do that, okay? So we take the less, so that, let's say that served as a motivation. We need to have, at least in the Hamiltonian, local operators. And the other motivation is given by energy. If our operators are arbitrarily long range or arbitrarily long extension, then we would not be able to have finite energy density. In order to do the discussion that I need to do, I will need to use these non-local operators unless I have to introduce a whole bunch of math that I can do. Okay, so, but that's a very good point, so thank you. So think for now that for finite n, this is very, very well defined. And so in other words, there are some of these operators that, in spite of being very long, very large, they are safe. Okay, they will not screw up too much our Hilbert space. So let me put it this way. These ones that are just a tensor product are safe. So this is a symmetry of the Hamiltonian. Yeah?
Sorry, it wasn't that clear to me why commutes with the second part of the Hamiltonian, the links.
Because, I want to ask why it commutes for these terms, right? Mm-hmm. Well, because the only thing it cannot commute with is with a term that lives on a link, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so imagine that we have sigma z on a link. So the tensor product of sigma z, and now I have x everywhere, right?
Okay,
but the only part that may not commute is this one, because those other ones commute with the identity that is everywhere else. And x tensor x commutes with the z tensor z. Okay, because there are two anti-commutes. So if you have never done it, do it as an exercise. It's a very simple exercise. Where was I? Okay. So notice that this operator squares to the identity. Right? Because it's just a tensor product of sigma x. Every sigma x squared is the identity. And therefore, this set, the identity and the t, is a group of transformations, and it's a representation of the group so-called the Z2, because it's the abelian group with the two elements. So that's why this is called the Z2 symmetry. So it's a group because it's closed in itself, it has an inverse and everything. It's the simplest possible group you can build. There is nothing simpler than this. Okay, so what are the limiting cases? I'm going very slow. G infinity, what is the ground state? So we have only this Hamiltonian. And you can see that the state psi, let me call it psi plus, that has this form, is the state plus on the first spin, tensor, the same state plus everywhere. And by plus, I just mean this state, 0 plus 1 over square root of 2, which is the eigenstate of eigenvalue minus 1 of the sigma x matrix. Well, so because every time I have this state, I get an eigenvalue plus 1, and here I have a minus, then I get an energy minus 1. So the ground state is given by this state. And there is no other state. The ground state is unique. And what we call this phase, we call this phase paramagnetic. Because if you measure magnetization in the z direction, in this state, you get 0. So you can see the sigma z sends psi plus in a psi minus, the one that has minus here. And therefore, psi plus and psi minus are orthogonal, so you get 0. So there is no, let me say, spontaneous magnetization. So because there is no magnetization in the z direction, we say, oh, this is like the disordered phase. Yes?
Is there magnetization in the x direction?
Yes, beautiful question. So, of course, if I measure this on any spin, of course I find 1, right? So one is tempted to say that there is magnetization in the x direction. But we don't say that. We think that magnetization is only valid in the z direction, which seems weird, but why? Why x is not acceptable? Because it seems arbitrary, right?
Because x is already x is already preferred by the magnetic field.
Very good. Yes. So in this is an Hamiltonian in which this term, because of energy, tells you spins want to be aligned in the positive x direction. There is nothing spontaneous about that. If I send this magnetic field to 0, then they are not polarized in the x direction, have no magnetization. In the z direction, there is no difference between being up in the z direction and down in the z direction. So, which is exactly the meaning of this. See, there is no energy difference in being up or down. So it is the magnetization in up or down that if we find is emergent order, because it's not favored by the Hamiltonian. So in fact, one would like to conclude that if it's not favored by the Hamiltonian, then should not be there. Right? There is no reason to prefer up or down, then the magnetization should be 0. So if we found the magnetization under these conditions, there would be something emergent. But saying, oh, I force all my spins in the x direction, therefore they're in the x direction, this is not what we mean by magnetization. There is nothing that is happening. we call this polarization, and that's why it's not spontaneous magnetization. So is this clear? Very good. So there is no spontaneous magnetization. That's why we call it paramagnetic phase. And let's look at correlation functions. So if we look at any correlation function, well, you see that because of this, also objects like this are identically zero. So there are no correlations, there is nothing. It's a very boring phase. It's called, it's because of this, a disordered phase. Now, of course, if G is not really infinite, then things change a little bit. And this is what you will be doing in the tutorial shortly. So you will do an expansion for large G, and you will try to argue what is the magnetization. And maybe we don't have prepared now in the notes how to do the correlation functions. But you can do that. I mean, after you've done the tutorial, maybe you can try using what you have done with the state. The result is that correlation functions do decay exponentially. And this psi will be like 1 over the gap, which means that for this model, Z is 1. But you will learn how to compute the gap. OK, so this is all about this limit. Now let's look at this other limit, which is much more interesting. G going to 0. The so-called ferromagnet. OK, and now let's try to minimize the energy, to try to understand what global quantum state minimizes the energy when this term is 0. Can you help me, tell me? So if our Hamiltonian is just this, so this state all spins up. Would this minimize the energy? Yes or no? Yes, right? But what about this other state? All spins down. Would this minimize the energy? Also this. And what about any superposition of those? Would those minimize the energy? Yes, all of them. So just try to plug them in the Hamiltonian and see that you get the minimum possible energy. And which is easy to do because this is an Hamiltonian, this is the sum of commuting operators. So because they commute, you can just enforce all these energy constraints one by one. Yes?
Isn't it just classicalizing in this limit?
Yes, yeah, this is a great point. When this is 0, this is like the classicalizing without a field. Because remember our remark at the beginning of the lecture of this morning, just saying that these are sigma z does not make it quantum. However, and here is the thing, this classical configuration is a ground state. This classical configuration is a ground state. But I am allowed to make superpositions of them. And they will also be ground states of those Hamiltonian. So the ground state is the span. So it is a ground space So it's a two-dimensional Hilbert space that is the span of these two states. Okay. So now notice something that is very important. This is what I forgot to say before. This ground state here, the one that is unique, also commutes with the symmetry. If I flip all the zeros in one and all the ones in zero, in each term of the tensor product, I go into itself. I say it commutes with the symmetry because I can write this, I can write any state as an operator by taking its density matrix, and then they commute. So these two statements are the same statement, actually. So the ground state enjoys the same symmetry than the Hamiltonian. These two operators commute with the same symmetry operator. But now look here. Let's pick a state, and let me write it like this, so it's not a cat. It's some density matrix inside here. Okay? And I ask you, is it what happens to this in general? Does it commute or not in general? No. Right? Simple example, I take this state. All spins up. Well, this is not invariant under flipping all the spins. It goes in the other one. In fact, almost every state in that manifold, in that subspace, does not commute with the symmetry, but two that are the completely symmetric state also known as Schrödinger cat, really, because this is not only a superposition, but a superposition between two macroscopic states. Okay, so this many zeros, and this many zeros encodes the program of the cat being alive, and this many ones, and can be as large as you want, it can be 10 to the 23, so the cat is dead, or the completely antisymmetric one, which goes into minus itself under the symmetry operator, but a state, you know, as a quantum state is the same state because a global phase doesn't matter. So these two states that I could call phi, let me call them phi plus minus, are the only ones that commute with my symmetry. But generally speaking, they do not commute. So they do not have the same symmetry of the Hamiltonian. This is what is called symmetry breaking. Okay? And however, it's not, so here I want to make a distinction that very often is overlooked. Just by itself, this is not the so-called spontaneous symmetry breaking. Because in spite of the fact that some states are not symmetric, as a whole, the whole set of states in here is kind of symmetric, right? There is no reason to prefer this state over this state. If I average the magnetization over all the possible states that are in here, I would still find zero. At this point, we still do not find a good reason why magnetization should take some value that is non-zero, if we average over all the possible states. other than the fact that if we take a random state, and we are lucky enough that we don't get one of these, then the magnetization will not be zero. It will be either positive or negative. But if then we average over all of them, then of course it will be zero. Symmetry is restored. So spontaneous magnetization does refer to the phenomenon that if somehow my system is initialized in a way that favors a little bit positive or negative magnetization, then even if I remove that little bias, then the positive or negative magnetization stays. Okay? So we first need to explicitly break the symmetry, then take, you know, send to zero this explicitly broken symmetry, and the state stays there and stays stuck. Okay? We will have more to say about this in the future. So right now, symmetry breaking is just a mathematical phenomenon. So we don't know right now why we should have a non-zero magnetization. Notice that, however, correlation functions in these ground states are very different. In fact, if you take states like the global all spins up, and you compute the non-connected correlation functions, so you get something different from zero. And in the small g expansion, you still get something different from zero, regardless of how far r. So the distance doesn't matter. If you take the symmetric states, also the connected correlation functions are different from zero, which means that you not only have long-range correlations, but also long-range correlated fluctuations, if you remember the meaning of connected correlation functions from this morning. At every scale, so this is what we call long-range order. So we see that we have described two extremes. In one, there is a unique ground state. There is a gap above this unique ground state. Symmetry is not broken. The ground state has the same symmetry of the Hamiltonian. Magnetization is zero. There is no magnetization. And there is no long-range order because all correlation functions are either zero or decay exponential. On the other hand, in the symmetry broken phase, given a state in this manifold, typically the magnetization is non-zero, although it can be arbitrarily positive or negative, but for every state apart from except the symmetric ones, when you have a symmetry breaking state, then the magnetization is different from zero. So you see the appearance of a local order parameter is the same thing of having a state that breaks the symmetry of the Hamiltonian. You have a long range order, and you have a degenerate ground state. Okay. So this is the paradigm. It has been the paradigm for the emergence of order in quantum many-body systems until kind of 20 years ago. Okay? So people thought at this point that every way order can emerge in a quantum many-body system depends on the fact that you have some pattern of symmetry breaking. We have some Hamiltonian that has some symmetry, maybe more complicated than just Z2. Z2 is the simplest possible one. And then the ground state may break it or not, or may break it in different ways. And every pattern of symmetry breaking corresponds to a phase. So in order to complete this argument, we would need to see that in between these two phases, the one in which the ground state is symmetric and the one in which the ground state breaks the symmetry, there is a quantum phase transition. Meaning the gap between the ground state and the rest of the states should shrink to zero, which is exactly what you're going to do now in the tutorial.